Welcome to the Technology Lab, presented by CPA Practice Advisor, with your hosts, Randy Johnston and Brian Tankersley.
I'm Randy Johnston, along with Brian Tankersley. Brian, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Brian Tankersley. I've been in the profession since the early 90s, have been doing accounting technology since the late 90s on a professional basis. I've written a few hundred product reviews, and I've spoken in 48 states talking about accounting technology to CPAs.
And I am from Hutchinson, Kansas. I am so pleased to spend time with you today. I have been on the top 100 list since 2004, the top 25 list since 2011. I love to spend time in technology and with my family as well. I'm fortunate enough to have founded Network Management Group, which is a managed service provider, providing services from Boston to Honolulu. And my K2 business is how I met Brian, and it is how we've probably met many of you, producing CPE and PD in the US and Canada. We're so pleased to spend time with you on today's Technology Lab. Well, g'day. Welcome to the Technology Lab. I'm Randy Johnston with my co-host, Brian Tankersley. We are pleased to talk to you about the new technology that Brian and I observed together at CES. Now, this new technology impacts your businesses directly, and we're going to step you down through a variety of topics and our observations. Now, I have read a lot of the pre-event press and a lot of the post-event press, and I've actually concluded the way that journalists were covering the event, you couldn't get the information unless you were there this year. And even though Brian and I chatted about it directly, we kept saying, well, you know, we couldn't pick this up if we weren't here. I think that was a pretty good observation. So, Brian, did I put words in your mouth there, or have I got it right?
No, I think you've got it absolutely right, Randy. You know, the thing is that the use case that most of your mainstream journalists are looking for, the gadget for themes, and most of us that are listening to this podcast are actually trying to get work done. And they're looking for ways to refit their conference rooms. They're looking for ways to not go blind from looking at screens all day long. And, you know, and they're looking to have better connectivity to the web and back to their office from home or from wherever they choose to work. And so those things were there, but we had to look for them, like Randy said. So the first one I want to talk about is going to be TVs. And all the TVs now are smart TVs, pretty much. And I'm almost wondering, Randy, after what you and I saw at the Samsung booth, where they were actually using AirPlay off of a, or no, they're using again a screen sharing technology on their from a Samsung phone. You know, after looking at sharing the data from a phone and the slides from a phone to a screen, I think screens are realistically, I think they're the way forward, and I think projectors are going to be gone pretty soon.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because that phrase is really a good one to know. All TVs are smart TVs. And as you and I both have talked about in prior events that we've done together, you know, your mother-in-law's TV is very chatty to the point that we probably even did something dysfunctional this year. We skipped the HCL booth entirely, since that's the brand TV she had, because those TVs are connecting to lots of other servers outside your organization. I think in your mother-in-law's case, it's like 80 is what you've reported in the past.
Yeah, it's 40, which is, you know, and the good news is because it's behind my SonicWall firewall, all that stuff that's in countries I don't particularly care for is getting blocked. But without that, she'd be telling the whole world everything they wanted to know about it.
Yeah. So but thank you for correcting me to the 40 so I can lock that in. But, you know, you are right. What we really got enthralled with was the Samsung DeX technology. Now, we've taught DeX in our events at K2 for at least 2, probably 3 years, because associate and partner out of Canada, Ward Blatch, really loves the DeX stuff. But boy, has it matured. And let's face it, you and I last year saw the Canon technology. And realistically, there's lots of other technologies like the Microsoft Surface that we actually revisited this time around. But let's focus on DeX for just a minute, because I want our listeners to understand that you could use a mobile phone or a tablet as your only device for a meeting room. And you can actually have multiple devices hooked to the same projection unit at the same time. And one of the strategies that, you know, I'll be teaching this year is the potential of using an Apple iPad as a computer, since you can finally run mouse and keyboard effectively. And, you know, that stuff is maturing as well. But this DeX technology was so doggone easy, and their detachable cameras on their monitors. I mean, these guys had really worked through all of the objections that I'd had to DeX in the past. And literally, friends, if you think about it, you could just have a phone, lay it down, and connect through the DeX technology, and your phone or tablet is projected, and you're collaborating with however many people you add. Now, I know we asked the question, but, you know, we got routed to the PR people, because I said, how many people can be on DeX at the same time? And they said, oh, that sounds like a good PR question. But I know historically it's been a big number, and I think it's 128. So don't quote me on that, listeners. But, you know, most of us won't have a meeting of where we have more than 10 or 20 people connected at the same time. And I know you could readily do that. Not to mention the immersive experience, because Samsung also had their 8K curved screen TVs, which they were promoting in gamers. And the DeX people specifically said, go look at this monitor because it's supported by DeX too. So if you think Samsung TVs all the way up and down the line and this ability to collaborate, it's a big deal.
Well, the thing that I saw that seems to be heading forward with them and with LG and some of the others is it seems like the line between TVs and monitors is blurring pretty significantly, especially as they try to up the frame rates for gamers on some of the devices. And so I'm wondering how long it's going to be before a tuner is an aftermarket option on some of these screens. You know, I think it's probably 5 years would be my guess.
Yeah.
Because there's less and less use of it every year.
And as you were thinking about the screens there, you know, you and I both stood agog at the Samsung entry where they were using the flex screens, flexed both direction, curved in and curved out, convex and concave. And, you know, we went back to the LG OLED. Sorry, I said Samsung, but LG OLED Flex, that it was really phenomenal because the little remote control, you could flex the screen as far in and back to flat as you desired. And we know that you could flex it the other direction. And, you know, the new HP.
Although the stand didn't support flexing it the other direction, we saw screens that had been flexed the other direction manually.
That's correct. That's exactly correct. I appreciate your clarification on that. And you know, the new HP 45-inch curved screen, which was intentionally designed to be the equivalent of 227s, for professionals, that really was the monitor that caught my eye the most this year, because it was clear that they'd taken all the best of their multi-keyboard, multi-monitor, multi-mousing technology that we've talked about in their predecessor, 34-inch model, and they put it up in 45, which for our professionals, dual 27s is a real winner, and you can do two dual 27s or take the whole 45 on that curved screen. So now the other one that you, I think, enjoyed looking at was the Canon technology. Now, I didn't like the subscription pricing on the Canon video conferencing, but the capability was important there because the cameras would move around the room following the presenters. It would actually zoom in and auto keystone correct stickies on the wall and lists and things like that.
So let me take this out to a 30,000 foot view there, folks. This is a pan tilt zoom camera, but then it has software that goes with it. So it's an automatic pan tilt zoom camera that goes around, follows the speaker, but then you can also train it on a particular spot and you can have it de-skew and do a lot of other things. For example, let's say somebody's working on a whiteboard and it's off at a strange angle. You can actually have the software capture that view of the thing and then rescale it and de-skew it and make it look like it was taken directly straight on the, you know, looking at the screen. And it captures all of that at once. It captures the real-time video as well as the whiteboard and the other things, captures all of it at once. And then in software, it determines what you're sending out. So that's why, that's what you're paying for. And it was, you know, it was interesting. I don't know that it was, you know, again, with the subscription price, I think the subscription was a little bit dear for all but the most sophisticated, biggest enterprise organizations, you know, or again, or a government contractor, you have to spend the money or you lose it. But it was particularly interesting. Again, the quality was unbelievable and the things you could do with it in a meeting room were unbelievable, but it was also clear that it was going to take quite a bit of training for folks to use it. So yes. I think the ease of use is probably not there for that product, but it's one that I'm definitely going to watch. And if any of you listeners are, you know, again, if you're CEO of a 2,000 person firm, this is your camera, okay? But you just got to know that it ain't cheap.
And you know, the Microsoft manager for Windows that was in charge of the Surface units, and of course, we saw the Surface 5s and the new 3D displays and portables and things like that. But also, you know, we talked about the big surfaces. So the, you know, 60 inch and 85 inch surfaces. But, you know, for a lot of our listeners, Brian, the $8,500 price point, $79.95, I think it is actually, on the Surface makes that a pretty viable display panel for a lot of our conference rooms because it's Teams integrated. I mean, it's got lots of features, including touchscreen and some other advanced stuff. So, you know, when I was looking at the meeting room tools, I realized these things are coming of age, but now we're going to go clear the other direction with you for just a minute, because we were very fortunate to see our friend from Matias there again this year. And both Matias and Kensington have released professional keyboards and mice that are just, you know, make me go agaga. Now, the good news is both Brian and I will have these to play with further. Obviously, we've touched them, but I wanted to make sure that we brought those up for all of you because I'm thinking that this might be the real deal. So, you know, as it turns out, Steve McGowan is a CPA who has worked at Matias, and we have talked to him off and on through the years. So, Brian, what would you say about these two keyboards and perhaps the Matias mouse, but maybe even the Kensington cameras and mice?
You know, what I would say about the Matias product is they make extremely high quality, extremely, everything's just done right. Okay. And, you know, you can buy, you know, if you need a cheap keyboard, you can go buy one at Best Buy, but you know, it's a membrane keyboard and it's going to, after a year of heavy use or 2 years of heavy use, it's going to be kind of dicey. You can also get a clicking keyboard like the one I use, but it's really loud and it's disruptive in team meetings. The one, you know, the Matias keyboard, I thought was a nice compromise on that. It was made out of metal. It actually looks kind of like a keyboard that you would use with a Mac. You know, they did that. They also use a much harder plastic for the mouse. It just has the ergonomics on it are just really, really good. There's also a technology that Kensington had that was a low sound clickable keyboard. So if you happen to like the mechanical switches, like Randy, I think you and I both like them. But unfortunately, when I'm in things like this, I can't use my keyboard because it just makes too many, the clicks are just too loud. But I'm looking forward to having that one. I was actually, you know, I think the thing you got to remember here is I would just point out here that the wisdom of a guy that was the founder of a firm I worked for a few years, he said, you know, son, you need to go get the chair you want because you're going to spend a lot of time in it. And I think that's the same thing with mice and keyboard. I think you need to be particular about those things because this is where carpal tunnel comes from. It's when you don't set up the ergonomics right.
These two keyboards, I think, are more than worthy of note to our professionals. You know, Kensington, besides having this very nice mechanical keyboard, and you are right, I just love my mechanical keyboard, but I'm not wild about the click, click, clicks. Kensington also had some side track balls, which I'm not a big fan of, and they had new cable locks, which was part of their business, but they also had a universal 3-in-1 pro audio headset in addition to a Bluetooth over-the-ear headset. So if you wanted professional lighting and, you know, a switchable setup, Kensington's professional video conferencing setup is a winner. Beyond that, Kensington also had new generation docking stations. So they had the first, to my knowledge, of USB 4 docking stations, and they had a Thunderbolt dual 4K docking station and a USB-C dual 4K with QI charging built in. So, you know, all of their docking stations and their keyboards and their video conferencing gear, I thought were all worthwhile. Now, notice that we've spent our time mainly talking about TV, meeting conference rooms, and so forth. Now, in other sessions we do, we're going to talk about some of the new standards and some of the new business things that have arrived. But Brian, are there any other, we'll call it video, maybe audio things that should be talked about with our listeners? I think we've got most of the keys on this one covered. Although, you know, I could go through a number of video monitors because ViewSonic had good ones, Samsung had good ones, HP had good ones, Lenovo had good monitors and so forth. But I think this particular line of reasoning is probably.
I think the biggest thing was a new standard HDMI 3, which cranks up to 80 gigabits per second, the amount of bandwidth. Now, I want to tell you that I have noticed something. You know, we've talked in the past about those really long HDMI cables that have the chips in the end that actually go over fiber that'll let you take things out to 300 feet or 100 meters. One thing I've learned with my 50-foot one is that it's a one-way connector on those adapters. And that was something that kind of surprised me. But again, this 80 gigabit connection is a really big deal because as we get to 8K monitors, you know, the problem isn't only that you have to get the content delivered to your home, it's that you also have to get it delivered to the set-top box. I mean, everything about the amount of data you're pushing around is hard right now with 8K. So, you know, the displays are ready, but whether or not the infrastructure and the cabling is necessarily up to snuff in your existing installations is a big question.
All right. Well, you know, I think that's probably a good dose of CES for this session. Let's continue with standards in a future tech lab with you. So we'll drill on HDMI 3 a little bit more. And Brian and I are so happy to have you along here in the tech lab because you will find that we found multiple things at CES that can help you and your business. We'll see you again in another tech lab.
Thank you for sharing your time with us. We'll be back next week with a new edition of the Technology Lab, brought to you by CPA Practice Advisor.